Welcome to North State Give and Take. I'm Bobby Tryon, and I interview local nonprofits and people doing some interesting things here in our community. You can hear all of my programming on kzfr.org. You go to programs, you go to Tuesday, and you go to North State Give and Take. So you can catch this one at another time, and you can see all the other interviews that I have done. They are pre-recorded conversations and have been certainly enlightening for me, and I hope for you as well. Today, I'm going to interview Larry Jansen. And Larry, who is a great friend of mine, is going to talk to us about bread. And I don't mean the green kind. I mean bread. And Larry's been baking bread. How long, Larry, have you been baking bread?
40 years.
40 years.
Over 40 years.
Over 40 years. And Larry has a little bakery that's up in Cohasset, and he has his bread at the farmer's market. And he and I have known each other for a long time, as well as his dad, who was a baker and kind of got us all interested in bread years ago. Is that fair to say?
Sort of.
Okay.
He baked his own bread. He didn't really be a baker.
That's true. His name is Roger Jansen, and he's alive and well baking bread.
Yes.
But what we wanted to talk about today was just about the bread that Larry bakes and some of the process and why it is good. Sort of to tack onto that, we're going to talk a little bit about milling, because that's a big part of Larry's bread making. So, Larry, let's just start with wheat. And just a little bit about, you know, where you get it, why does that matter, and then a little about milling, and then we'll go into the baking of the bread.
As far as we are, we just buy it from big warehouses. It's organic. It's a little, for us, it's a little harder to get it from local farmers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way the movement's going nowadays.
Okay. So this area doesn't grow a lot of wheat, right?
Not a lot, no.
Okay. So you get this great amount of wheat, and then you and your dad have made mills.
Yes.
Mills, which are stone ground mills. So tell me a little bit about those.
Well, they came up, our milling started way back in 1972 with a Meadows mill. And that's how we milled our own wheat for our own bread. And in 1992, I met Alan Scott, and he had asked Dad if we could build a mill. And of course, Dad said no. And the background for Dad was he was a rock cutter at Meadows Mill, the last place in America that built mills. So anyways, we did a big hike in the Trinity Alps. And we were sitting in a campground after the hike, and I was bored, and he said, design a mill. So I did a little 5-minute sketch, and it turned into Jansen Grist Mills.
And you do have Jansen Grist Mills even still?
Yes, it's still limping along, but limping they're still along out there.
Uh-huh. And you do sell them? I mean, all over the country, people have bought them.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen them in there.
And I use them in my own bakery. I have since 1992.
Okay. And that's two stones that grind together.
Two natural granite stones. Yep.
Okay. Okay. And you put the wheat berry in that looks a little bit like rice, about that size, and grind it into beautiful whole wheat flour.
Whole grain flour.
Whole grain flour. Yes. Whole grain flour.
Yep. On a variety of grains, wheats, variety of wheats.
Okay.
Rye, spelt.
Yep.
Kamuts.
So now let's go. Okay, so now we've got the flour ground. And just, I want to tack on here just for a minute about why whole grain flour is so much better than the sifted. Well, sifted is different than actually getting rid of the germ. Am I right?
Yeah, you're not getting rid of all of the germ or all of the bran.
Okay.
And you can, different size mesh screens in a sifter gets rid of more or less.
Okay.
what they call extractions, different levels of extraction.
Okay. And the one thing in wheat that's so valuable, which is a complete protein, is the germ.
Yes.
Okay.
The germ. Yeah. And the bran is probably good for the gut.
Yes.
And digestion and the rest of the system.
Okay. And then a good portion of the actual berry has the white looking part of flour.
Yeah, that's the starch.
Okay. All right. And so if you're eating whole grain wheat, you're getting the germ, which is giving you complete protein.
Right.
Okay. And your bread, you have a variety of different extractions. Am I right on that?
Two-thirds of what we bake are 100% whole grain, variety of grains from spelt, kamut to the wheat and rye.
Uh-huh.
I have one line of bread that's all white and one that has 10% rye and a white flour, what I call my rustic whites.
Yes, which we like. It's so interesting because bread is such a staple. And everybody has their little things that they like about bread. The consistency of the crust, what they call the crumb is what the bread looks like when you slice it.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody has a way that they like.
Yeah.
And so we do have some varieties in our community. Now tell me about how you get your dough to raise. This is not a rise, I guess. Is it rise or raise? Rise, whatever.
Either way, depends on what state, what past tense or tense, okay. Whatever.
So how you get your bread to rise, because of course you can go get a package of yeast at the store, but that's not what you do.
Yeah, I started off like that years ago till I met Alan Scott, who was doing the Daesom method, which is a Flemish word for leaven. And it's a natural starter where you've put a ball of dry dough, very dry wheat dough, buried in a bucket of flour, and you wait until you see some action. And then you work with this thing, and it's created a natural starter. It's got little critters in there,
uh-huh.
Bacteria and whatnot, wild yeast. And you work with that. And the more you work with it, the better and the stronger it gets. So all our breads are raised with a natural Daesom starter.
Okay. And the word Daesom, D-E-S-E-M.
Yes. I think it's just a Flemish slang word for leaven.
Okay.
In America, we would know of them as sourdough.
Yes. That's the thing that gets people a little confused.
And that's the big catchy thing that all the little bakeries at home and all the small bakers, they're all sourdough starters. It's a little different. Usually they're a lot more using white flour,
mm-hmm.
white flour starters. I think the Daesom lends itself to whole grain flour, mm-hmm. sourdough, maybe more toward white dough. That's just my own personal thinking. I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, when you say your Daesom, you do that with all whole wheat and a little rye, or?
I have different. I have a rye starter.
Mothers. And you call them your mothers, right?
I call them the mothers.
The mothers.
They're creating more bread, so.
Yeah, and they have to be fed.
They have to be fed. It's just like having another pet. You have to take care of these things. You have to live with them. You have to know what temperature they like to live and. Uh-huh. And work at.
So a person, when you said you start off with a wheat dough and you put it under flour and you watch to see it and have action. So the yeast or the bacteria that they get, they just pick them up from the environment.
From the wheat, mm-hmm. from the wheat itself, the flour, and from the air.
Okay. Okay. So it's similar kind of to wine.
Yes. Yeah. It's all. All those fermenty kind of things all are similar.
Right. And they have their natural things that are on them. And if they're allowed to grow, then they create this thing.
Leavening action.
Leavening action that kind of, the bacteria or the yeast eats sugar, right?
I would say the starch converts it into sugars.
Okay.
And they're doing a natural, they're alive.
Yes.
So they're eating, they're farting, they're doing all that stuff. They're creating gas.
Yeah, you like the gas.
You want the gas. And with the wheats, what makes it work so good is their quality in wheat called gluten, which makes little balloons in the dough.
Got it.
And the more you work it and do certain things, strengthen those little balloons, the more gas action you get, the bigger the rise.
Interesting. So the gluten is created by the...
It's a thing in wheat flour.
Okay.
Or the grains. Rye has a different, it's a different kind of, it's not quite gluten. Uh-huh. I don't know all the science behind it all.
Yeah.
All the names and everything.
Sure.
It's a thing in the wheat family, gluten.
Yes. And so it was kind of the rage for a while, and it still is a little bit, is the...
It's still there.
It's still there. The gluten-free diet.
Right.
And I guess that started because there's some ideas that gluten is not good for inflammation.
Something to do with the gut.
Something to do with the... Oh, yes, that's right. The
gut inflammation or leaky gut, they call it.
Sure. Yeah, and gluten can be a problem for it. Yes, because I know...
And in the case of the, like, what is it, less than 1% of the population that has celiacs?
Yes.
That gluten and celiac do not like each other. Mm-hmm. Gluten makes it worse for people. Yep. Yeah.
And real celiac disease is very serious.
You cannot
have any gluten, but gluten intolerance and just being careful of gluten, you have to watch for that when you're buying things.
Right.
Got it.
And for some people, certain like kamut or some of the old heirloom grains, old that haven't been hybridized for modern milling, etc., all that stuff.
Yeah.
Kamut, which we use a lot of. I've had several people who have intolerance, but they can tolerate kamut. It depends a lot on the individual.
Yeah.
And their level of whatever problem they're having.
Yeah.
But some people can tolerate it.
Well, and it's so tricky because, well, in our lives, bread is such a vehicle for so many things that when you find something that works, you want to use it. I mean, you kind of have, well, I can't say you have to have bread in your life, but boy, I can't imagine not having it.
Well, bread is like glorified napkins. It keeps your hands clean. You can put gross amounts of meat between it and get it to your face, peanut butter and jelly. And they happen to taste good.
Yeah. That's good. I bet you got a lot of bread around your house.
I'd hate to show what we have.
I understand. You're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Larry Jansen from the Hearth and Stone Bakery in Cohasset. And we're talking about bread. My name's Bobby Tryon, and this is North State Give and Take 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico. And stay tuned for the next half of this conversation. To my pre-recorded conversation with Larry Jansen from the Hearth and Stone Bakery in Cohasset, talking about baking bread. So I just want to talk to you a little about how your week goes, your week, when you're baking bread. Because don't you have a wood-fired oven, wood-fired as well?
Yes. Okay. So my bake week starts on Tuesday night. Then that's with feeding a couple of my moms, start building them up to what I'll need for the bakes. Then Wednesday comes and I start my fire in my oven early in the morning. It burns all day long. And at night, I'll stoke it with several large logs and damp it down. While I'm doing that, I'm also milling my own flour, my whole grain flours. So all Wednesday is a milling and firing day. Then the bake day comes. Up early in the morning, start mixing doughs. Takes 3 hours, 4 hours to get all my doughs mixed. The oven's still burning. It's burning down to ashes and whatnot, coals. Then there's shaping of the doughs. Takes a couple hours, three. And the doughs have all been proofing for about 4 hours in the bulk stage.
And when you say proofing, you mean like a big bowl just kind of raising?
Yeah, it's just the whole bulk dough is rising and all the actions are going on in there with the little yeasty critters and bacteria is doing their thing with the flour. Then shaping it, get it another 4 hours in the loaf. And the art with a wood-fired oven is bringing your dough and your oven temperature to the perfect point where you create bread.
Yeah.
And that's the tricky part.
Yeah.
And after a long, I've been doing this since 92 with the wood fire, and I still have days where it's a little burnt, a little light. It's tricky.
It's tricky because you got to get those little gas bubbles right.
Right.
And you got to get that temperature right. And once you pull the fire out of the oven,
there's no way to get it hot again.
Yeah. You got to make that call when you pull the fire.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then how many bakes can you get? I mean, can you fill the oven a couple of times?
I can fill it about 5 times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and in a oven load of, let's say my sunflower sesame would be about, if I filled it, would be about 40, 45 loaves.
Wow. In one oven load.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I get about 33 loaves of my rustic whites.
Okay.
They're round. They take up a little more space.
So it must be this rushed moment when you're pulling them out and you don't want to cool the oven off and, ooh.
Yeah, it's all a little scurry there.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. Bread's flying everywhere.
Yep.
And it's kind of, you hope it came out good.
Yeah, it's a, yes.
Yeah.
We hope we have some happy guinea pigs out there because sometimes I look at it and go, oops.
Yeah. 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 Right. So that the baking happens on what day?
Thursdays and Fridays. So okay. I bake 2 different days.
Okay. So you boost that fire on Thursday night?
No, I've baked all day Thursday, got to mix those, shape those, proof baked. Friday morning I get up, I build another fire in the oven.
Okay.
It's a little smaller and it doesn't get stoked, but it gets quite a bit of wood. And while I'm mixing for the Friday doughs and doing that whole process, it's heating it up again.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets it back up over 800 degrees.
Oh, wow.
800. I don't mind if it gets up to 900.
Wow.
And then it's that timing again, bringing your dough and your oven to the perfect temperatures.
Yeah.
The dough has risen, the loaves have risen, and the temperature is just right.
Right. And that picking the time for the dough rise, I know how tricky that is.
Yeah.
Is this the time? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like something you can really teach. You sort of have to do it to learn it.
Yep. Yep.
And you can still mess up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then Friday evening, you just get ready for the market.
Right. So Friday evening recently it's been like 10 o'clock, a little after 10. Everything's baked.
Yeah.
And the other half the family's in there bagging it up.
Yep.
Getting it on the rack.
Yeah.
Saturday morning comes. I get up at 4 a.m., load the truck, get to the market by 6.
Wow.
And we're there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Larry and I stand next to each other at the farmer's market. So we see each other every week. And I've known Larry since he was
at least 5 years old.
5 years old, I think.
Yeah. In a whole other part of the country.
Yep, in a whole other world. Yes. Yep, I've always appreciated just your family with the love that you have for the process. You know, Roger, his dad, and Larry and I have talked about Dazem for hours.
Yeah.
Hours.
Yeah. And ever since we started doing it in 1992,
yeah,
it's been on the table.
Yep.
The topic.
And Roger helped me put an oven in my backyard.
Yeah.
So that I could bake bread back there with a wood-fired oven.
And that was even before I met Alan. So you were actually doing it before I was.
I was. I did have bread flying around everywhere. We ate so much bread. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I'm happy to talk to you about it, Lair, because, I mean, I know kind of what you're doing, but sometimes I don't,
well, it's good somebody knows what I'm doing, because I don't know what I'm doing sometimes.
Well, you always appear. You're always there, and you've always got great bread. So I'm just happy to hear about it. I hope people can realize just how valuable and nutritious, we call it Dazem bread, but in it's similar to sourdough, but it's the same idea. I think sourdough is a little, like you said, white flour.
I think it leans a little more with white flours.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the same process of holding on to and keeping alive what we call mother. And just how valuable that is for us nutritionally.
Yeah.
And natural yeasts and whole grains.
Fermentation in the bread.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes with my grandkids who are picky eaters, I figured that if they could eat toast, that they would be at least getting some good nutritional value. And I could always get them to eat toast.
Yeah.
You know,
and a lot of good stuff goes on toast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We don't really eat bread alone.
No, no.
So it's nutrition with what we put on it, the bread itself. And there's the whole side for roughage in the gut.
Exactly.
And whole grains help that a lot.
It does. And I joke about it, and I say sometimes if you're going to eat white bread, it's like eating a donut. Not as sweet as a donut, but you're just getting the white starch.
Right.
You're just not getting the nutrition.
It is very addictive, and it's very easy to eat white bread.
Boy, ain't it.
And, you know, certain things were made for that.
Peanut
butter and jelly.
Yes.
On a good white bread.
Yeah. Well, and our whole culture kind of went, you know, we did have rough bread or whatever you want to call it, you know, with fiber in it. And then we all kind of went white for a while.
Yeah, way back when that started happening.
Yep. Bimbo bread and Wonder bread.
Yes.
And that's still out there for sure.
Isn't it?
But
it might have something, the flour lasted longer.
Take
out the germ.
Yep.
That has all the oils that go rancid. So white flour it can last a long time.
A long time. And yeah, just one more thing about that, to say that when you said rancid, the germ in the flour, when it's freshly ground, it can go rancid unless you take care of it and keep it cool. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not even sure how long flour like that will last. Might be months. I'm not even sure, because I've always milled my own flour. So
right, and used
I've
it right away.
Had it fresh. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But it's a living thing, and you can't have to preserve it.
Good nutrition is probably a living thing. It's in any of its forms, cooking. Yep. Good cooking from scratch. Yep. It all comes in there.
It does. It all comes in there. But like I said, I felt better when I gave my grandkids those kind of things, because I'd go, well, that and a glass of milk, and I figured they were okay.
They all look happy.
They do. They do. Well, Larry, thank you. I've been wanting to do this for a while, and I'm glad you agreed to talk to me about bread.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I appreciate you, and I look forward to seeing you next weekend.
All right. We'll see you at the market.
All right. Bye, Lair.
Bye, Bobby.
You just heard a pre-recorded conversation with Larry Jansen from the Hearth and Stone Bakery in Cohasset talking about baking Daisum bread. If you'd like to hear it again, you can go to kzfr.org, go to Programs, go to Tuesdays, and go to North State Give and Take. And if you go there, you can see all the interviews that I've done over the last year and a half. So there's some interesting listening there. Stay tuned to 90.1 FM, and thanks so much for listening. Up next, of course, is Ginger and Radioactive.